We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's up, Knicks fans? Quick break to tell you about T-Squared Social, the new home of Knicks Film School Watch Parties. The next one this Saturday when the Knicks take on the Philadelphia 76ers in Game 1 of their first round matchup. Located just two blocks from Grand Central, this place has everything for a sports fan. Join us this Saturday for Game 1 as the Knicks will battle it out with their division rival from the city of brotherly love. Watch the game with us on the biggest screen in New York City, or get there early and grab a table so you and your friends or your family can dine out while watching the game on one of their several other dozen widescreen TVs. T-Squared Social, your number one place to watch the next big Knicks game. Get a free draft beer when you tell them Knicks Film School sent you. Visit tsquaredsocial.com for more information.
What is good, Sixer Nation? Welcome on in to another edition of Philly Take with RB. And we're here on the night before the Sixers showdown in the first round against the New York Knicks. Short timing in all this, man. It feels like things are just rapidly moving right now. But fact of the matter is, first 1-4, man. Starting tomorrow night, the pass is the past after a big win. And Sixers got to be ready to rock, man. So I am excited to jump into it. And tonight, we got a special edition of the show. Special guest, Andrew Claudio, one of the best out there doing it, covering the New York Knicks for Knicks Film School. He's going to join us. I'm excited to dive into it with the opposition, get, you know, some of the matchups, X factors, keys to winning, and finally a prediction from one of the best doing it on the other side, man. Andrew, welcome to the show. I'm excited to be here and can't wait to hear what you think about this series, man.
RB, thank you so much for having me. We're doing this exactly 24 hours before tip-off, so the countdown is officially on, less than a day away.
Let's go, man. It is go time. Once again, welcome into the chat. We want you guys to get active in here. Be sure to drop some comments, questions, maybe you know, anything you have from the other side. What do you want to know about this matchup going in? I'm sure we'll have Sixer fans in here, Knicks fans. And yeah, man, let's just get underway. So a couple days ago, and again, it feels like everything's jumbled at this point for me, but Sixers get a huge win. And man, it took every last second of that game to get it done. And here they are, Sixers and Knicks, and we didn't even know it was going to be the Knicks until the last game of the season. We thought it may be Milwaukee, it could even be Cleveland, but it's New York, and I'm interested to know from your perspective, because I've been reading all the dialogue, the discourse. What was it like when the Knicks found out, okay, we're playing Philadelphia? Because I know there was a little revenge factor, but what was it like? All right, Joel Embiid, Tyrese Maxey, what's the vibe in New York right now?
So, look, there's one gigantic question surrounding this series from a Knicks perspective, and it's how we've kind of covered this series and how we've looked ahead to this matchup. And it's probably the number one question in Philadelphia, too, and it's how healthy is Joel Embiid? Watching the play-in game, I will say my concerns about how healthy Embiid is, they grew as the game went along, and seeing how slow he was moving, how not even how much he struggled getting up and down the court, but in that deep drop that he plays when Tyler Hero is getting shot after shot up, whether they were going in or not was like not the point. It was just looking at, you know, the status of Embiid, that there may have been a moment during the fourth quarter where I was actually kind of rooting for the Heat. So that way we could, especially knowing Jimmy Butler's status, or imagining Jimmy Butler's status, that maybe that might have been the favorable matchup. Look, the way this Knicks team has been kind of programmed is that they don't really run from anybody. So I think it'll be a tough matchup, because I respect what the Sixers can do when Embiid's at full health. But the mood in New York, the vibes in New York are very confident, but very, very cautious, knowing, you know, Embiid may not be 100%, but that guy is still the reigning MVP and we respect him.
I respect that. Give me 1 second. My mic actually just like fell off the thing. So
I saw you playing with it. You're good. You're good. You want me to stall? I can play chat for a little bit if you want.
I think my mic got scared when you started talking about injury concerns, and I think it got injured. So
it quite literally is. It's day to day, like Embiid at the moment. It's questionable. Right, you got it. Okay. You got it. Okay. So hello everybody on Philly Take. I am not RB, obviously, but looking at the chat, thank you everybody for joining. I see a lot of love for the guy. I see some love for Batum and Oubre. That was an insane performance in the second half from Nick Batum. I thought the funniest stat that arose from that performance from Nick Batum is that it was the only time this year he scored over 20 points, and he is tied with me and RB for points against the Knicks this year. So shout out to Nick Batum for that performance. I believe it's the first time in 8 years he's had 23 points in a game as well. Let's see what else going on in the chat. Hello to the Knicks Film School audience, who has also joined me over here. Yes, thank you everybody from the KFS audience that's joined us. Someone says Embiid hit some clutch buckets in the fourth, and Batum, man, last game's MVP. I'm curious to the Philly audience, is the takeaway from Wednesday that Embiid and Maxey played poorly, or is the takeaway from Wednesday that the Miami Heat defense was suffocating and it caused the poor play? Because now going up against a Knicks team that might also have a pretty suffocating defense, does that worry you at all? That's a strength that I think a lot of Knicks fans have looked at. I got a lot of respect for Embiid and Maxey, but and someone saying both. So there's a Tobias Harris comment that, no, we just took Tobias out and we won. I know that's like a universal thing that Tobias Harris, the less Tobias Harris, the better. But I'm very curious how many minutes he plays in the series and whether that's a positive or negative for the Knicks. RB is back. Welcome back, my friend.
Can you hear me? Everything?
Yes, I can hear you. You're good.
All right, cool. I will say that is a first. I don't know. I don't know what to feel about this series now. You know, I'm a man of signs, and I'm like, all right, now that that broke, like, is Embiid not going to play? Is he going to play? But anyway.
You've already overcome the first hurdle is what that is. You
know, day to day, man. I'm day to day. But we're here. Again, thank you. And to your point about the 76ers, I agree. I think, like, that is the main question of this series. And I was going back to, like, my prior notes in former playoff series the year before. And every single time I wrote the same damn note, is Joel Embiid going to be 100%? If Joel's 100%, I think the Sixers can win this series. I really think that he's the most dominant player in this series. And, you know, no disrespect to Jalen Brunson. He's had an incredible year, but when Joel is Joel, he's just different. And I remember we talked earlier this year, and I didn't even know if he was going to come back in. Like, I didn't even know if he was going to play again, step foot on the floor. The fact that he's here is incredible. But like you said, that other night, let's be honest, he didn't look good. He really did not look right. And I'm concerned, you know, if he tries to push through in game one or game two, and it just makes it even worse, you know, do you kind of just flatten your own tires at that point? So Yeah, I think unfortunately that's the unknown, and we're not going to know until we see what he looks like on the floor tomorrow night.
There's a scenario that, and that's why I think game one is just, I mean, this is weird analysis to give and not exactly the most insightful, but game one's like the most important for both teams, because there's a world where Philly steals game one and they could sit Joel because there's 2 days off between game two and game three. And if you steal home court, it's literally what the Miami Heat did last year to the Knicks in the second round, where Jimmy Butler got injured in the fourth quarter. They were able to steal game one. They sat him game two. They had 2 extra days off between games two and games three. In fact, they had, it was one of those weird things where they had 3 days off between games two and games three. So they were able to give him a whole week off between games to rest that ankle. And, you know, depending on Embiid's health, if the Knicks can, from a Knicks perspective, you want to force the Sixers into a desperate situation as much as possible, which is why I think game one is just so crucial tomorrow night.
Yeah, absolutely. And when it comes down to the Knicks, where even though there are concerns about Embiid, did you want to play the Sixers more than Miami? Who do you view as the weaker opponent?
That's two different answers, because did I want to play the Sixers over Miami? Yes, but not because I think they're the weaker opponent. I just, the Miami Heat have earned a voodoo magic respect that whether they're the weaker opponent, they were the weaker opponent last year against the Knicks and they still won the series. They were I host the pregame pod. I had RB on the Knicks Film School pregame pod earlier this year, and every single show that I do, I go and find content creators from out of town, and they talk about their other perspective. We do a Mount Rushmore of rivals, as RB remembers. And so I can't tell you how many times people bring up, like, I want no part of the Miami Heat. I don't want to deal with Spoelstra. I don't want to deal with Bam Adebayo's illegal screens. I don't want to deal with the nonsense that comes with playing Heat culture. It was very much, even if I think the Knicks would win that series, I don't want to deal with the agita of, like, yes, they won, but Jalen Brunson's now out for the year because he, you know, couldn't get around a Bam illegal screen. So
yeah.
It was more that agita. I do think the Sixers were the better team and will make this matchup for a more competitive series, but that was my perspective there.
No, absolutely. And when it comes to the Heat, trust me, we know a couple days ago we had to sweat out every single bullet just to win that game. I mean, the Heat went to zone early in the game and the Sixers looked like they were completely lost, like they'd never seen a zone defense before. And as it relates to the Knicks, you know, they don't really run that much zone defense.
They don't play any zone defense, defense. You won't see it at all in this series.
I hear that, Sixer Nation, zero zone. So we can
none whatsoever.
Take a little deep breath there, but what the Knicks do, and one of the reasons I'm a little bit more nervous about this series, is they're very physical. Right at the point of attack, they're going to try to suffocate you, as I like to say, and just, they want to make you uncomfortable. I feel like that's the Knick grit and just the physicality of a Tom Thibodeau team. And I would say that that's really prided the Knicks, you know, this season and just their identity in general. I feel like when you get to the playoffs, it's about your stars. You know, can they come through, deliver, and get it done? But it almost feels like to me, with the Knicks, they can still get the job done just because of the way they play the game. Do you think that's a fair take?
They've been doing it all season, man. The fact that they make the OG Anunoby trade on the day before New Year's, and it looked as if, you know, losing Emmanuel quickly, losing RJ Barrett, it entered into an unknown for exactly 24 hours, because day one with OG Anunoby in the lineup, they went out and beat the Timberwolves at home, and it started a stretch of 12-2 in the month of January until Julius Randle got hurt. And then on the same day, OG Anunoby went out with his injury, his elbow injury. And while they ended up being 15-2 in the first 17 games after Anunoby, those last three games that I'm talking about, we're kind of stat padding to try and survive what became a 2 month stretch of them being shorthanded, but they were never out of games. They were never out, never really got blown out. They were playing shorthanded with 7-man rotations, Tibbs asking guys to play 40, 45 minutes. Josh Hart, like, he played under 40 minutes against the Bucks 2 weeks ago. And it was this most confusing box score to stare at. I was like, whoa, Josh Hart played 36 minutes. I didn't know he was allowed to do that. I was just so conditioned to believe. And while outside of New York, people look at Deuce McBride playing 47 minutes and 30 seconds. And it's like, oh my gosh, Tibbs is insane. In New York, that's part of the identity, that it's like, what is asked of us, we'll do it. And that physicality, that toughness, that attitude has just seeped into this entire roster. They all speak glowingly about the, like you said, the identity that they have. Obviously, I don't have to tell Sixer Nation, the Villanova backbone that exists on this team that we've kind of adopted and is our own here in New York. They're a team that's just made us proud throughout this entire season by surviving 2 months of being shorthanded. And to now see them as a two seed, I'm not saying this is house money, because I think we're all confident going into this series, but I don't think I think if the Sixers win the series, it's not because like the Knicks lost. The Knicks aren't going to beat themselves. They'll show up prepared and ready to play. A better player might determine the series. And that's really where Knicks fans, I think, are coming from going into this series, that like we may lose because they have the best player in the series. We're not going to lose because we're not good enough. And then that's a testament to what they've done all season.
No, I think that's fair. And just as an aside, you know, I have to tell you, I'm so pissed off at this matchup because I'm a Nova diehard. Mm-hmm. And I've watched probably every game of Jalen Brunson and Dante DiVincenzo and Josh Hart, even Mikal Bridges. I know he's not with the Knicks yet. Let me not throw anything out there. But now I have to root against these guys. I've followed them their whole careers. I'm so happy that Jay Wright products have developed into what they have. And now they might become my own villains. I hate it. I hate it, but it is what it is. It is special though, to see them all rejoice together and play the way they are. Talk to me about like some of the role players on the Knicks. I know Julius Randle goes down, and we had this convo earlier in the year, and I almost kind of like shaded him in a way. And I said, are the Knicks better without Julius Randle, especially come playoff time? And I brought up a little comparison. Julius to me feels like Tobias Harris. Like, he can put up the numbers, you know, some, like, there are fans that will always love him and his game, but for the most part, he did kind of become the own villain, right? And had it in with the fans. And, you know, it's like when they're not there, the team may actually play a little more inspired. So how do you feel going into this without Julius? Because it feels like it's a Brunson-centric offense, but anybody can step up at any time.
So there's two things there. The better without Julius is subjective. They were really good with Julius. They're really good without Julius. I think the playoff ceiling, I think, is a little different. I think the Knicks, if they survive the series, if they win the series, could get to a conference final. I was optimistic about that in January when they looked the way they looked with Julius. It's the most bought in to a scheme, to ball movement, to transition that I have ever seen him be, to the defensive side of the ball that I've ever seen him be. I don't know what, just the inertia of him playing next to Ananobi and the version of the Knicks that looked like in January. I've seen and overheard some of the Tobias Harris slander that's happened in Philly, and I've seen him play too, so I can understand why and what is causing the frustration. I will just say that Julius has made 3 All-Star teams, 2 All-NBA teams in New York, so we appreciate him, let's say, 1% more than apparently they do.
Sure.
Tobias Harris in Philly. That said, them potentially being better with a Jalen Brunson-centric offense and a bunch of role players, it's I think, added to the curiosity of what this postseason and maybe specifically this series could bring. You look at the fact that Dante DiVincenzo, once Ananobi and Randle went out, started averaging 10, 11 three-pointers a game, three-point attempts a game, I should say, and his percentage didn't really dip. He still averaged about 40% from three. He set the Knicks single-season record for threes in a season. Josh Hart just playing 40 minutes a night. It's a bit of a quantity stat, but he had his first 6 triple-doubles of his career this year because he was just on the floor making plays at all times. They they kind of have like every elite role player you could think of. Isaiah Hartenstein has been a revelation since Mitchell Robinson went down, being a very baby Jokic, but like our version of running your offense through a center. It's more like Sabonis, or really speaking to Tom Thibodeau, the Joakim Noah offense, where you just kind of run it in the high post. You could do some blind pig actions and really use, especially when you blitz Brunson, have him be the person that plays 4-on-3. But yeah, they just have a ton of elite role players on this team. Miles McBride, I mean, you remember him from the game in Philly back in January.
Oh yeah.
That 4 3-pointer first quarter was the beginning of a stretch for Deuce that was just suddenly he's a shooter. Suddenly he's a 40% 3-point shooter. And as the volume's gone up, his production has gone up too. So you know, we'll see what the series is, because role players are evaluated differently in smaller sample sizes in the playoffs. But as far as the regular season is concerned, the Knicks, just as role players have been asked to do more, they've succeeded more. And it's led to the position that they're in now.
Yeah, absolutely. And they deserve credit for that.
What's up, Knicks fans? You know, the other day I was talking to two girls who were telling me how into foreplay they are and how they wish they had more single guys to do it with. No, not that foreplay. We're not looking to get teed up on the pod. I'm talking F-O-U-R-P-L-A-Y foreplay. It's an app where single friends team up and double date other single friends. It's a more fun, lower pressure, and safer way to meet new people, which is exactly why single girls love it. In fact, they love it so much that they make up the majority of teams on the app, as in a 3-to-1 ratio in your favor. Back when I was single, I would have definitely loved this. Look, we all know everything is better with a friend. Just ask Josh and Jalen, even if Brunson won't admit it. And with foreplay, you don't have to sacrifice bromance for romance, because it's a chance to enjoy a night out with a buddy while meeting two new people in a more social environment without any expectation. And the icing on the cake, it's totally free. All right, it's game time. So head over to the App Store now and download foreplay, F-O-U-R-P-L-A-Y, and get ready for a little 2-on-2 pickup.
I think the Sixers are kind of a dark horse of these playoffs, just because, you know, they're really not a 7 seed, but they fight their way in. And I think a huge part, talking about the role player aspect, is that the Sixers finally do have more role players, guys that can surround the cast of Joel Embiid and Tyrese Maxey. For instance, Kelly Oubre, and, you know, he may just come off as another player to Knicks fans. So, you know, maybe they need to do their research on how Kelly has played, but he's almost like our third option now. Like, he has stepped in, and even in the absence of Joel Embiid, Kelly Oubre, it doesn't matter if he's making 10 shots in a row, if he's missing 15 in a row, he continues to attack. And I think Kelly could be a huge weapon in this series. You know, it's going to get tough against the New York Knicks. Like, you almost have to like outshoot them, but also, you know, bang them up at the same time. And I think Kelly is the kind of guy that epitomizes that style of play. But when it comes to, say, Tobias Harris, you know, or even Nicholas Batum, who had 20 points in the play-in game, that's not going to happen every time. You know, campaign could be a little spark plug off the bench, but are we counting on it? Probably not. I think De'Anthony Melton being out in this series hurts. I mean, he's at least missing game one. It doesn't seem like he's, you know, probably going to play much. Robert Covington is out. So I think the Sixers will lack in terms of that wing defense, but you know, I think the Sixers role players have definitely improved, but are they on the level of the Knicks? Probably not. And I think I would give the Knicks the advantage in this series in that aspect.
The interesting thing for me about the Sixers role players in comparison to the Knicks is it's very clear, at least from my perspective, what Tibbs is going to do as far as like who's, they know who their lineups are. You know, Deuce is your backup point guard, but also your backup two guard. DiVincenzo, like, he's your closing two, and Josh Hart is your backup 2, 3, and 4 sometimes. You know, like, everybody kind of knows their role. And from my perspective, watching Philly, like, I have no idea who's going to start on tomorrow night, whether Kyle Lowry gets the start and they go with the two guard lineup. Do they try to take advantage of their size and go to Batum at the two? This may be a question for you. If Tobias Harris is playing poorly, do they kind of pull the plug and just go small. And like Oubre plays the four. I know that's not necessarily a smaller lineup, but he's not exactly a stretch four. He's like the perfect three. Yeah. And like, what do you foresee the rotation looking like if with the Sixers role players in this? I mean, like I haven't even mentioned Buddy Hield, who hasn't never played a playoff game before. He finally, you know, breaks the ice there. But I'm like legitimately worried about his shooting in this series. Oh, you know,
absolutely. And he definitely has not really lived up to what we expected out of Buddy Hield. I mean, he's again one of those microwave scorers. Like if he's hot, he's hot. Let him go, you know. But if he's not, how much value is he bringing to your team? I've been saying for like a month or two now, I would play Batum at the four. I would keep Kelly at the three. Obviously, the Sixers are not going to do that. It would probably break Tobias Harris completely in terms of confidence. But Sixer fans were very happy a couple of days ago because really the main question was answered, which is what you just said. If Tobias is playing bad, will Nurse pull the plug? And he did not leave him in the fourth quarter. He left Nico Batum in, who hit a couple big shots, had a game-winning block on Tyler Hero, and he left the best version of the lineup in. So I think the difference and why Sixer fans believe they can win this series and why they're excited is because it's no longer the textbook style of Doc Rivers where I have my game plan, I'm going with it no matter what, which I guess people could, you know, kind of look at say Nurse is maybe an advantage over Tibbs. I'm interested to hear your opinion on that, but I think overall Nurse is going to adjust on the fly. If somebody's playing well, he's going to keep them in. And if not, he is not afraid to pull the plug. And I think Kyle Lowry is actually going to be another X factor in this series, how he defends Jalen Brunson. You know, will he stay out of foul trouble? Can he kind of get under their skin a little bit, especially when that's kind of what the Knicks do to other teams as well?
So the first part, Tibbs versus Nurse and whether one is an advantage over the other. My personal opinion, I think it's closer to a wash than an advantage for either team. I respect Nick Nurse as an NBA champion or guy that's won a championship. I also know Kawhi Leonard was on that basketball team. Tibbs is like, it's Jalen Brunson, a season of Jimmy Butler actually wanting to be in Minnesota, and Derrick Rose before he got injured is the best players that, and like Julius Randle, the year he won most improved player. So I think Nick Nurse with a superstar is pretty terrifying, but so is a Knicks team with Tom Thibodeau and a bunch of Tibbs guys. And that's what the Knicks have. It's just like a lot of guys bought into him and his scheme. And like, he has all the guys that he could ever, like, it's really like, why hasn't Alex Caruso ever played for the Knicks or specifically for Tibbs? Because that's like the last Tibbs guy that needs to play for Tibbs to officially make it complete. And look, Kyle Lowry just like won my respect forever. I used to make jokes with Heat Twitter about Kyle Lowry last year during the season. You know, like I saw the Burger King commercial, the Whopper commercial that was going around the internet. And then he just was a veteran X factor. And he's, like you said, going to do a lot of things to make Brunson's life difficult. I don't think he's going to be like a Jalen stopper, but he might like force a turnover here, draw a charge here, make the game more physical for Brunson. Like suddenly Brunson's on the ground and there is the Villanova connection of big brother, little brother. So I'm not dismissing that Kyle Lowry will have an impact on this series, especially after the way he had an impact for the Heat last year when the Knicks played him. So it should be an interesting matchup.
Yeah, for sure. The last point I want to bring up, and then we'll just kind of dive in. We have some super chats, and then we'll also just dive into a little more about expectation. Because, you know, I look back and I was researching this season series between the Sixers and Knicks, and like, it's hard for me to like take anything away from a game without Joel Embiid or a game without Maxi. You know what I mean? There was only one matchup where we played healthy and you guys whooped us respectfully. And that was one of the first games with Ananobi, and you talked about his dominance. I think you guys are like 20-3 with Ananobi. And I mean, that's just insane. Like his versatility on the defensive end, it makes it tough for a lot of people. But rebounding, let me tell you about the Sixers when it comes to rebounding. They are frustrating, man. And I've always said, you know, if the Sixers had a powerful rebounder at the four, they'd be a championship favorite because I just don't think that's Tobias Harris's style of game. You know, even if Tobias gets to a point where he's willing to take a back seat, go out there and give me 12 rebounds, you know, go be a ball stopper and go guard the other team's best guy. He just doesn't have that defining skill. And it's another reason, you know, why he frustrates this fan base beyond the scoring. But the Knicks are number one in the league in offensive rebounding. Talk to me about how crazy, you know, Hartenstein, Robinson, even Hart, that game against the Sixers where, what was it, 2019-10? He had 19. I mean, that's all Hart right there, literally, and no pun intended. Talk to me about the Knicks, their ability to rebound on the offensive glass and how it kind of hurts teams on a regular basis.
First of all, no pun intended, but pun well executed, sir. I appreciate it. The rebounding battle stood out to me in the Heat game. Seeing the Heat get 18 offensive rebounds was noticeable. The Heat, such a weird second half from them. Cause the Sixers were able to get to the ball as well. They got 15 offensive rebounds of their own. I think that's the staple of a Tom Thibodeau philosophy, like rim protection, winning the boards. Like, the Knicks single-handedly won that Cavs series. Like, I know Jalen Brunson played well at points. The first three games, he wasn't really efficient. But they won that series because Mitchell Robinson was the best player in the series. And they were able to really dominate the boards to the point, to the extent to where, like, they're sending both Mobley and Allen at Mitchell Robinson. And then Josh Hart's able to kind of feast. And Julius Randle's on one foot that entire series. And we're watching them in the fourth quarter of game five, up 3-1 in Cleveland. And the Knicks are just getting like 6 and 7 attempts on a possession. Like, it doesn't matter if we make anything. We know we get as many shots as we can at this. So I do think that's an advantage for the Knicks. I do think Tyrese Maxey being able to get out in transition, if the Sixers do get the rebound, is an advantage for Philadelphia. And it's the thing that's killed the Knicks all season, is because the Knicks are crashing the boards, teams that are able to get boards for their own, which is where Embiid's health comes into play. Just these leak outs that have led to easy points all season long. It's honestly an Eric Spoelstra thing, that if Kevin Love is getting the rebound, he's just immediately looking to throw a touchdown pass to whoever leaked out, whether it be Embiid or Adebayo or whoever. So, yeah, the boards are big, and I would expect Josh Hart to have a monster series on the boards. I also think, let me know how you feel about this. It also allows Tibbs to be a little flexible if he wants to. Not to say I'm a big Josh Hart guy and want to, I'm not saying like there's a point where the Knicks should consider not playing him, especially if he's making shots, but like, because of the Sixers, let's say, weakness on the boards, if you wanted to go to an Anunoby at the four lineup, who's not the greatest rebounder, but you're not really losing anything as far as the advantages is concerned, and go with Deuce or, you know, Bogdanovich or someone else in the other wing spots, you know, is that something you could foresee the Knicks doing, because they don't necessarily have to worry about like a rebounding weapon at the four for the Sixers?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think it gives that extra defensive push as well. Maybe at certain situations in the game, or, you know, maybe the Sixers are starting to run a little bit and, you know, the Knicks want to bring in another stopper and just a guy that can defend multiple positions. And I think especially because, again, you know, Kelly could get going one game, or there's another game where he may start 0-for-6, you know, and it's like, all right, now it's time to look back at your stars, you know, when it comes to Joel and Tyrese. So I think Anunoby is probably, I mean, I'm sure he, you know, will play a ton of minutes to begin with, but I would foresee him being in a lot more, you know, against some of these weapons if they start to get going. Because the way to take the Sixers out is obviously you got to put pressure on Joel, right? I'm sure the Knicks were probably going to double team him and trap him and just kind of, you know, try to make him uncomfortable early in the series, you know, try to test him out, you know, whether it's the knee, the ankle, whatever. If Joel's not right and he's not establishing himself, that energy kind of flows to the rest of the team and you can just see it. You saw it in that Heat game. I hope to see Tyrese Maxey take more of that aggressive, you know, outlook on the game. Like, Tyrese, you are one of the stars. You need to take the rock and go take some of that pressure off Joel. You know, you can't deflect. So, yeah, I think Anunoby is probably going to be the secret weapon, or maybe not secret anymore, for the Knicks in this series.
Well, so one thing I will say, you mentioned how there's just like, and I rewatched the game from January and parts of the other three games. Like you mentioned, like not being able to take anything away from these matchups. We weren't given really a sample size to look at. They'd be like, oh, so this is how this series might go.
Right.
Like Buddy Hield and Kyle Lowry weren't in that game in January. Julius Randle and Quentin Grimes were in that game in January. So even that game, it's tough to really take anything away. However, the two things that I did notice and wonder if they come into play in this series, the first one being how well Miles McBride played, and the other one, you mentioned them doubling Joel, and they really didn't double Joel that much. It was really letting Isaiah Hartenstein take him one-on-one. Because he's Joel Embiid, he still had 30 and 10, but like I thought Hartenstein made him work for it. He was 10 of 23 that night. Like he got his free throws, which like you're going to expect that from Joel Embiid. But I actually wonder if the Knicks, they might bring help if he's on drives or he gets low in the post. But I think the Knicks will try to maintain a one-on-one matchup. So that way a Maxi doesn't get an advantage or some of these role players don't get hot. I that's going to be my first initial projection for Saturday night is, yeah, that the Knicks, I don't want to say let Embiid cook, but they see what a one-on-one matchup looks like first before they officially adjust to having to blitz him, you know?
Interesting. Yeah. No, I thought that they would probably obviously not copy what the Miami Heat did, but like kind of take a page out of their playbook. Cause you could just see early, like what they were trying to do to Joel. They were trying to get to him and you know, force him into bad turnovers. But that is true. I mean, Hartenstein's played really well this year, and I'll give him credit. So maybe they do try to go with that philosophy to just, you know, play it out and see how it goes. Overall, I think what it's going to come down to, again, obviously the health of Joel Embiid, but can the Sixers stop those big runs of New York? And, you know, we've talked about all the role players. I want to know from you, because I think this is a question that Sixer fans are probably wondering. You know, life could have been different if the Sixers had traded for Alec Burks and Bogdanovich. You know, there was a lot of what ifs. And to my understanding, Alec Burks probably hasn't played up to par. Bogdanovich has been a little on and off. What do you foresee the Knicks rotation as? How many guys deep are they going to go? Because, you know, we've wondered the same thing with Philly. And I mean, Nurse is not afraid to get creative. That's for sure. Like he comes up with things that haven't even existed before. And they'll ask him, you know, why did you do this? And he says, I don't know. I thought it was a good idea. You know, it seemed right. So I could see the Sixers going with 8 guys, 9, 10, even 11, 12. So where are the Knicks at? Are they going to go with a tight rotation?
So I should say this, the Mitchell Robinson health status makes it questionable because he's recovering from an ankle surgery that he had in December. And while he's back, I don't think you could see him more for 5-6 minutes a half. At the moment, he's still getting his conditioning in play. So there's a world where your backup center isn't just Mitchell Robinson. It's a hybrid of Mitchell Robinson and Precious Achiuwa splitting the backup center minutes. Isaiah Hartenstein's been on a minutes restriction. He's been dealing with an Achilles injury, and the restriction isn't necessarily a cap of how many minutes he can play. It's how many consecutive minutes he's been allowed to play. So you're not going to see him play a full quarter. Honestly, the only time we've seen him play a full quarter since the minutes restriction came into play, the Knicks were up by 30 going into the fourth quarter against the Boston Celtics the last week of the season. And the Celtics had, by the mid third quarter, were like, all right, we're punting. Like, we don't care. We're going to win 65 games. And Tibbs spent that fourth quarter, not with garbage time, but as an opportunity to learn because our head coach is a maniac. And Hartenstein played that entire fourth quarter against backups. The Pistons of it all, you mentioned how life would have been different for you. Alec Burks will not see a minute of importance in this series. He has been awful since being traded to the Knicks. Life was better off for you that the Sixers didn't make a trade for Alec Burks. God bless him. I understand getting traded to another team can be difficult. Just from a pure basketball standpoint, he was objectively awful for the maybe 99%. I'm sure I could think of a possession here or there where I was like, oh, Alec Burks. But other than that, it was pretty bad. Bogey, on the other hand, I mean, you know this from the game out of the All-Star break. There are moments where he's just not missing. And it's like, oh, here's the bogey contributions. And while you're not really getting anything on the defensive side of the ball, there is at least an effort to what he's doing that, you know, he's not a complete traffic cone. And when Tibbs goes to these lineups where he puts him next to, we started to see it the last 2 weeks of the season when Anunoby came back with Bogey next to OG and DiVincenzo and Deuce and either Hartenstein or Mitch, then you're surrounding Bogey with A-plus defenders and shooters. So you can kind of hide him on the defensive side of the ball. So the long way of answering your question, this is a 7.5, 8-man rotation as far as I'm concerned, with Deuce McBride as a backup. Bogey, if he's playing well as a backup, I could see him like coming in the first half. If he's playing well, great. He's your backup in the second. If he's awful, he doesn't play the second half. And then a backup center, whether it be Mitch or Precious being the eighth man. So that's if we see Alec Burks, it's because someone got hurt or that someone's up by a lot.
Yeah, I don't know. Like when I listen to you talk, it feels like there's not a lot of room for error in a way when it comes to the Knicks. They're very tight knit and they know what they're trying to do. But like you said, if somebody gets hurt or if somebody's just banged up or not having a good series, it does feel like there should be room for concern with the Knicks. And I could say the same for Philly, right? If Joel's banged up or, you know, whoever, it could get tough. But I guess my question would be, like, what's your biggest fear in this series? Is it injury? Is it, you know, going completely cold? Like, is it just like having the shivers? Like, what is the biggest concern from the Knicks side of things going into this one?
Like non-Embiid department?
Yeah, like from your own standpoint, if you went in from a Knicks standpoint and you said, if this happens, like, I'm really terrified. Like, what do you think is the biggest concern?
You just said it. The shooters on this team go cold. Like, Miles McBride, as good as he's been from three, over 43% on very high volume since coming into the rotation. He's made one playoff field goal in his career, so I don't have a sample size to show what he is in the playoffs. There is a long history of jump shooters just suddenly going cold in the playoffs, like Dante DiVincenzo did last year for the Warriors until the very last game of his stint with the Warriors. So the fact that he's taken 11, 12 three-pointers a game since Julius Randle went out, I mean, he's been efficient, and now we're in the playoffs where he has had cold nights here and there. So over a 7-game series, that could potentially rear its ugly head. They only really have one true creator on the team at the moment, and it's Jalen Brunson. And as much as I think he's won our hearts here in New York, and I would put him in my MVP ballot if I had one. I'd put him first team on NBA if I had one. I recognize that a team with a smaller guard is not necessarily easy to stop, especially when playing at the level that he's playing at. But, you know, you're going to need a lot of role players to punch above their weight. I do think cohesively the Knicks, like I said, they know who they are. They know what their responsibilities are. So it's less about when it comes to fear that they won't be prepared or they won't. The effort level won't be there. It's very much like a shot's going to fall in this series by their role players. But look, I led with my biggest fear, and it's that Joel Embiid gets healthier as the Caesar series goes along, because we could be looking up in game six and he's got 40 and 15.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, yeah. So the MVP turned into an MVP again.
Yeah. No, it is interesting, especially with the I'll call them rumors in the past that, you know, Knicks fans and Joel Embiid and that whole connection. It's going to be interesting, man. It's going to be interesting. And I hope that everybody is healthy in the series. Like, I want a fully healthy series. And I think both of these fan bases, we talked, like I said before, and these are two of the most passionate fan bases. And I think we both deserve just a really good, hard fought series. So I really do hope it ends in that.
What's up, Knicks fans? Quick break to tell you about our new sponsor, Unified. Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this episode of the Knicks Film School podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System. And if you haven't heard of the EE system yet, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Whether you're here in the Big Apple or at hundreds of other locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE system technology for yourself? Don't hesitate. Go to unifiedhealing.com/KFS to learn more and find a center near you. Again, that's unifiedhealing.com/KFS. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.
Let me go ahead and get to a couple of these super chats, and then I want to get your final prediction on the game. Once again, if you guys are in here, man, drop any comments you have in the chat. Any, you know, Sixers fans wanting to know something about the Knicks, or the Knicks fans wanting to know something about the Sixers. Rekin, thank you for becoming a channel member. Thank you so much. Gut says, do you think Doc would have lost the game against Miami? Oh, absolutely. 100%. There was no way the Sixers would have pulled that out, because Doc would have left Tobias in the game in the fourth quarter, and we would have never got the Batum showing that we had gotten a couple nights ago. Hayden says they win if Embiid is 70 to 80% healthy. And I agree with that. I dropped the preview video. I said, if Embiid is 80% or greater healthy in this series, I think the Sixers have a really good shot. But anything below that, if he looks the way he did the other night, like I said, that energy is just going to kind of disperse amongst the rest of the troops. And it's going to be really tough, man. What is important is his ability defensively and getting from block to block. As always, Tobias is an X factor. Need a big Oubre game to Sixers in six. Aiden again says, listen, the track record for Sixers in a game seven or playing is not good. I think they had the nerves. They'll get more comfortable. I think that's a solid point as well. And shout out to Hayden. If this goes seven games, no, not getting it done on the road in an amazing building like MSG, the crowd's going to be going. And with every stop, every possession, I mean, I can't even imagine already, you know, what that experience will be like. And maybe you'll be at the game. Maybe you'll hear it from where you're at. But yeah, man, the Sixers cannot let this go seven games. If they do, I don't foresee any way that they win on the road. I just can't see it happening. Jay Abs, $2 Super Chat says, my new profile pick will get us to the finals, RB. This guy loves changing his profile picture.
Money well spent. Yeah.
He had one of Batum the other night, and now it's Maxi. I love it. And then shout out to Fargo, who says, Deuce McBride is the X factor. Would you agree with that?
So Fargo's a staple in the Knicks Film School community. Was one of the early ones on the Deuce McBride train. That he should be getting more minutes. They should be investing more in the Deuce McBride experience. And he's one of the ones that gets to say that he was right, because the more Deuce McBride, the better. The X factor of Deuce McBride, I can't go that far, but I understand what he's saying. If Deuce is hitting shots, he's honestly their best option to try and limit Maxi. That game coming out of the All-Star break where the Knicks went up big and then the Sixers made a comeback, Maxi didn't score the rest of the game when the Knicks went to a lineup of Deuce at the two, and they just gave him the Maxi responsibility. We watched him play adequate defense on Steph Curry for 40 plus minutes. We watched him play adequate defense on SGA. Like, I know that the game winning shot that SGA hit in the Garden, that shot went viral as like, oh, how do you have Deuce McBride guarding him? It's like the one good shot he made on Deuce the entire game. So that's why I think Deuce, as far as an X factor with guarding Maxi, I agree with you, Fargo. So, I think he's going to be important. Joel Embiid's the X factor in the series. Like, with his health and whether he's going to be an MVP or the version I saw Wednesday night, he's the X factor in the series.
We can say whatever we want. We can sit here and talk for hours. We can think right. about it. It all comes down to Joel Embiid.
I did a pod earlier today, like, so a little behind the scenes, like, I do all of our social media stuff. So, like, the clips, like the podcast promos. And you know how at the top of every template, you have to put like an eye-catching caption. It's like, yeah. Jokic MVP, Embiid overrated, like Brunson, like yeah. for president. And it's just like, oh, I'm going to click on this. It's how healthy is Joel Embiid has been the only thing I've put at the top of all of our promotional. Cause it's the only question that matters, you know?
Literally, man. It's all going to come down to that. And if you know one thing about the Sixers, and maybe you don't, they never tell us the truth. We will have to find out with our own eyes tomorrow night. Fargo says, can New York push the pace and wear down Embiid? Absolutely. I think that's how the Knicks beat the Sixers in this series. You know, can they get out in transition? Can they, force the issue a little bit? The Sixers do tend to get a bit lazy when it comes to getting back and even on the glass, you know, like whoever does the little things, I think it'll really stand out in this series. And especially if Embiid is banged up, you're already going to be able to know. You're going to be able to see it. Like, one thing that really caught my eye on Wednesday, it felt like he didn't even get down in the low block for 6 minutes to start the game. That's not who Joel is. You know, when he's healthy, give me the ball, let me lead and, you know, create looks for others as well. And that's why I think the Knicks are going to test him early. I mean, if I was the Knicks, I would do that. You know, how will he respond? And his body language always tells a lot. So. That's what I would say to that question.
To Fargo's point about the pace, look, that's the Knicks were last in pace this season, but a lot of that is before what we saw over the last 2.5 weeks of the season, where they went to a much smaller lineup. Look, on every miss that Josh Hart gets the rebound, they're pushing. They're in transition immediately, which I think will be a strength, especially for against a team that's as weak on the boards as the Sixers are. Yeah. Josh Hart getting the ball and they're running. Look, the Celtics are playing at half speed. I get it. But last Thursday was somewhat eye opening that if you're playing a team that's at half speed and you're out there, you know, getting it and going, there's an advantage there. And the Knicks have now developed a really solid transition offense that is going to make a guy that may be hobbling around like Embiid to make his life a little difficult. And so I'm also curious to see how they attack him on game one in particular, you know, what the strategy is.
Yeah. And I think you made a good point earlier about, you know, if the Knicks were to slip up in that game one, like that completely turns the whole series on its head. Cause I think it's fair to say we both do have a pretty good home court advantage and it's going to be tough to steal it in the other team's building. So if the Sixers can flip the script there and get a W, I think that would be huge. But I could foresee some games in this series coming down to like a Tyrese Maxey 40-point game or a Josh Hart 20-15-10 game or something like that. There's going to be those types of games in this series, in my personal opinion. So we'll see. Jason says, if Embiid cannot move on defense, JB will kill him in the pick and roll. And we saw a lot of that the other night. You know, Embiid was sagging back on drop coverage. He wasn't able to move. He wasn't able to really jump. And there was just a lot of standing and looking. So, yes, I agree. Jalen Brunson has been incredible this year. And, you know, we may see a couple 40-point games from JB in this series. And it would not surprise me.
JB has been incredible. And what he's feasted on this year is drop coverage. That first game against Philly, Embiid did play drop. And Brunson was able to get into a rhythm. The thing that I mean, I'm curious your perspective. I believe you just alluded to it, but it's one thing if schematically they're playing drop, and because you can adjust to that, you can just switch it at a certain point. And if you wanted to put Embiid on Josh Hart and kind of hide him on a lesser shooter, and then just have whoever, like whether it's Batum or Lowry or Oubre guarding him on the pick and roll, you just have him go over the top to try and force him into a pull up, then at least you're not giving up a three. That's fine. The thing that would scare me as a Sixer fan, and maybe you can answer, like, if Tyler Hero isn't 9 of 27, because if all of those pull up threes that he was missing are Jalen Brunson threes, and it's the Jalen Brunson I've seen for the last 2 months, like then Brunson, yeah, is gonna average 40 in this series against that version of the Sixers. So, yeah. Like, if schematically that's what they have to do because of how compromised Embiid is, what do you think an adjustment is that they might go to?
Yeah, I could see them going to zone. Nurse has done that a few times, and I've seen a lot of people bringing this up, like the box and one defense, just to try to take Brunson off his game a little bit, especially if Embiid is not able to move well. I would not put it past Nurse. He's very creative, and that's just the one thing we love. That's why we're breathing a little easy over here, because for once, it's not like we have to beat the other team and our own coach's tendencies. Nick Nurse is going to help this team out. And we saw it the other night, like a couple big adjustments at halftime really helped the Sixers get in their groove offensively. And they shot their way out of his zone. And, you know, they came up with more of a strategy than they had to begin the game, which was huge. So, yeah, I think that's how they kind of go about it. And I hope they don't let Brunson get going, because when he has that look in his eyes, man, he doesn't stop. And I do think Lowry could throw him off a little bit. So we'll see.
We'll see. Look, Alex Caruso gave him 40 plus minutes of hell the other night, and he still had like 39 and change. So that's why I think JB will get his points. It's making it as difficult as possible for him to get his points. And look, to your point, if it's not Lowry, the thing that has given Brunson trouble in the last 2 years that I've watched him is when he's facing lengthy, you know, athletic wing defenders. So Kelly Oubre, yeah. Who, look, I take the Sunday night game, the 79-73 game, with a grain of salt, because nobody played well in that game, but I thought he did make Brunson's life more difficult. And it was like something I noted for a potential matchup in the playoffs, that if they do match up, the Oubre matchup is difficult, the Batum one-on-one maybe difficult. I think Brunson's going to be good in the series. It's a base level of competence in the floor I've come to expect from him. But to your point, like it's maybe not necessarily about completely stopping the guy. It's about making it difficult for them in a 7-game series.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. One thing I know will not happen in this series is a 79-73 game. That was one of the strangest games ever. One of the lowest scoring games by a mile. And man, that was just, I can't take any stock away from that game.
Yeah, we were in attendance for it. We do an annual game every season at Knicks Film School where we take a bunch of our patrons and some of our most loyal supporters to Madison Square Garden to sit in one of the Chase lounges. And the worst part is we're 0-3 when we go to those games. And if you remember, Maxi didn't play that game. Joel was obviously out. And we're like, great, we're finally going to break the Knicks Film School curse tonight. And we're staring at 67-60 with 4 minutes left in the fourth quarter. It's like, what did we take our people to? Like, what is happening?
What a beautiful game to go to, man.
Yeah.
History. At least you saw
Sunday night in New York City, and we're watching a flashback to the 90s, except much more three-pointers attempted, you know. Jeez,
man, what a game that was. But yeah, man, I appreciate you coming on, and obviously we have to get to our final prediction. So I'm gonna let you take the floor. What happens, Sixers and Knicks first round series? Actually, before that, one preliminary question here. Mm-hmm. Whoever wins this series, are they going to the Eastern Conference Finals?
Yes.
All right.
Yes,
I'll let you have the floor. Sixers and Knicks, how does it play out, and what is the result?
It should shock nobody that I am taking the Knicks in the series. I do think it's going seven, and I'm actually not as confident as you said earlier that if it goes seven, there's no way the Sixers could win. I respect the Sixers team. I agree with you. The depth is just different. I've gotten back and forth. I've gotten into a back and forth with one of our hosts of the main host of our show, John Macri, who tends to have an affinity for defending head coaches and trying to provide their perspective on things. I don't think Doc Rivers is worthy of the defense that he gets sometimes. I think he's underachieved more than he's overachieved in his career, which is why I agree it is an upgrade now having Nick Nurse and some of them that's willing to try different things and go to a box and one in the finals. You know, having said that, this Knicks team has just overachieved and outperformed any expectations that I've had all season long. They're getting healthy at the right moment. They're just kind of clicking and firing all cylinders. And I, as much as I respect the Sixers and I'm projecting Embiid's health to not get to 100%, like that version I saw on Wednesday night, I do think that there will be a game or two where he's able to go to that mode. I just don't think over a 7-game series against this Knicks team that's going to make his life hell to try and survive it, that there's enough. So if these two teams were healthy, I think this would even be the 2-7, which is why it's a different conversation. But to where these two teams are at now in their seasons, I'm going to go Knicks in 7.
Well, I respect that pick, and definitely, you know, could be a realistic possibility, depending on how it plays out. But I'm going to take the Sixers in 6. I think that's the only way they can get it done. I do not believe it can go to game 7 because I don't think they've shown us enough, you know, to be able to win that. Obviously, it all hinges on the health of Joel Embiid, which we've said 10 times now. But I'm going to believe that he is healthy enough. And I think Tyrese Maxey will learn from the other night and learn from the past couple seasons and kind of recognize like, okay, I am one of the guys now. And I just think that firepower with Tyrese and Joel, along with maybe a big Kelly Oubre performance, or, you know, maybe one other Nico Batum 15-20 point game or whatever it is, will be enough to get the Sixers, you know, maybe one steal on the road and then hopefully win both at home and be able to clinch it in game 6. So I will take the Sixers in 6. You got here. Somehow the basketball gods sent us a sign. Like, Joel wasn't even supposed to come back. Sixer fans were in the dark despair of 2 months, and the Sixers were unwatchable and nobody could stand them. And Joel comes back. This team's won 9 in a row. I mean, they found ways to win games. So at the end of the day, I think it's going to be a really good series. Maybe one of the most evenly matched first round series, but I'll go with the firepower on Philly's side.
Again, a respectable pick. I'm not going to sit up here, especially if Embiid gets healthier as the series progresses, and be surprised if the Sixers win this series. That's just the respect I have for him as a player specifically, but for what that team could do. I like my team a little better, which is why we do what we do, RB.
Of course.
You know?
Holding it down, man. We're holding it down. Shout out to Indy with the super chats. It's Sixers in 5.
Ooh. So, Indy, respect and thank you for supporting great people like RB. The Knicks are 20-3 with OG Anunoby in the lineup. So I'm assuming you're projecting that both he and Brunson will not play all 5 of those games. I'm not here. Look, that's honestly, it's a joke, but I haven't seen them lose a 4th time with Anunoby. I can't fully get behind them losing 4 times in 5 games against a team with OG Anunoby. So
it's going to be tough. And Anunoby's fully healthy, right? Like, there's no concerns or
none, not even on the injury report. So the funny thing is, his injury the first time was just like, oh, my elbow's sore. And this is what they warned us in Toronto when we traded for him. Like, he's going to have these weird injuries that aren't necessarily like crushing, or like Julius Randle dislocated his shoulder. He's out. Like, very clear cause and effect. Anunoby, it was elbow soreness, then elbow tightness, then elbow surgery. Then he came back and it was like, oh, elbow tendonitis. And it was like, oh, he just needs to get fully healthy. And now he's just like not on the injury report. So as far as I'm concerned, he's healthy. Could that mean that like in between games 3 and games 4, he's just suddenly out with like a sore, let's just say it again, a sore elbow? And it's like, oh yeah, he's out. Maybe, but as far as we know, the only player on the injury report for the Knicks right now is Julius Randle, and obviously he won't play in this series. So the Knicks are as healthy as they've been since January.
Okay, well, I will take it from my number one Knicks source of Knicks Film School. Any hot takes before we go? Any final hot takes for the series? Maybe it's a player, one of the games. Maybe we'll see another 79-73. No, I don't.
Please,
think
so. Dear God, no. You want a hot take?
Let's hear it.
Embiid doesn't play every game of the series.
I think that is a realistic possibility.
So maybe it's not as hot. It's more projecting reality. Lukewarm take. So here's the actual, again, this is a hot take. Not necessarily like, I wanted that on the front end. If Embiid is in, if the Embiid that I saw the other night is the Embiid that plays the entirety of this series, Knicks in five.
Okay. Well,
but we'll I'm projecting that Embiid's not getting, my 7-game prediction is that they're going to have to survive the MVP version that I saw earlier in the year. You know,
so I really
that's
hope
what I'm going
so.
To.
I hope so. And one thing I know about Joel, man, from the last couple years, he will always find a way to end on the floor. Even if he's hanging on by a thread, like he'll be out there. You'll be able to see that he's not 100%, but you know, even if it's to a negative effect sometime, like he will end the season on the floor unless he just physically cannot go. So, yeah, man, I hope it's a healthy series. Thank you again.
Hold on. What about you? Give me a hot take. I need a hot take from you as well.
You want my hot take?
Yeah.
My hot take is that the New York native Tobias Harris hits 4 threes in game 1 or 2 and shocks everybody and pulls us back in and leads us to a big victory on the road, courtesy of number 12. And there's all these rumors coming out today on Sixers side. Oh, you know, Tobias is going to sign with the Pistons in free agency and they're starting to draw him up just like they did with James Harden last year. So I think Tobias looks at it and goes, you know what? Fine. Count me out. I'm coming in and I'm going to shoot lights out in one of these games in New York.
Long Island zone, Tobias Harris. Yeah.
Very, very hot take.
Yeah. I'll add another one. There will be a Deuce McBride game. Now, like you'll be sitting up here in the post game and be like, oh, that was the Deuce McBride game. Andrew warned me about this. Like there will be a Deuce McBride game in this series. That'll be my other hot take.
All right. I'll keep you in mind when it happens.
There you go.
I'll shout you out. Andrew, thanks again for coming through, man. This was awesome. I know it was on short notice, but that's the beauty of what we do. And let the best team win. I hope it's us, but I do agree. Whoever wins this series, I think is going to beat not the Bucks. I think it'll be the Pacers to go to the conference finals and maybe have a chance to upset the Celtics. But please let us know where we can find you. I know there's a couple people in the chat asking where's your, like what your show's called, and let us know where the people can find you, man, because you do great work.
So you can find me on the handle that's right underneath me, Andrew J. Claudio _. Knicks Film School is available wherever you get podcasts. We have a great YouTube channel, very deep X's and O's and data researched coverage of the Knicks. We try to be as informative as possible with mixing in some of the emotional highs and lows that a fan can experience. We do pregame pods. We do watch alongs. We do post game shows. We do off day shows. We have a newsletter that you could subscribe to. We have a Patreon that talks about the NBA at large. If you want to subscribe to that, we have a Discord. If you want to hang out with us that you get through the Patreon, and just a lot of great stuff going on at Knicks Film School. So come find us. If you want to, even if you just want to talk smack after a game, because your team beat our team, if that potentially happens. So yeah, that's where we can find all our stuff. RB, thank you. I'm a fan and I admire, you know, the passion you bring to the content game and the hustle that you have in the content world. And it's good to link up and I wish you the best in the content, even if I don't wish you the best in the series.
Thanks a lot, man. May the best team win and it'll be the Sixers. You guys have a great one. Catch you on the next one. Philly Take with RB. We are out. Peace.
It's happening daily. We're being conned by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media is distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the harsh realities facing American families. Time is short before something big happens, and that's why so many folks are preparing. They're becoming self-reliant by investing in emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure 4-week emergency food kits for each member of your family. Each kit contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Save $50 on each 4-week food kit you purchase. Plus, get free shipping on Ready Hour 4-week emergency food kits. You're not ready if it's not Ready Hour foods. At My Patriot Supply, you can also get solar power generators, water filtration units, heirloom seeds, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m. and your unmarked boxes ship the same day. Shop MyPatriotSupply.com today. MyPatriotSupply.com.